might feel a little bit disorientated because this summer we've been reading from the Gospel of Mark. And now, lo and behold, seemingly abruptly, we jump into the Gospel of John. Right in the middle, in chapter 6. And John has signs. And this sign of the multiplication of the loaves is the fourth sign in the Gospel of St. John. But stay calm. We're going to stay in this Gospel. We're going to stay in this chapter for about five weeks with this one. And so it's a ride that we do, leaving Mark's Gospel just for a few weeks. We'll come back to it. Today we find two very generous people. One is a man. He is from a little village which has a difficult name, which is not written here, but they're not the right book. But it's Bar-Shibal. Meaning his village is named for an idol. And yet this man is generous. He comes and he gives Elisha 20 loaves of barley bread, which is for the poor, which is not wheat, and doesn't taste as good. But when you're hungry, the best sauce, as the Africans say, the best sauce is hunger. So even when you're hungry, those barley loaves taste pretty good. And so Elijah has about 10 different legends about him being a prophet and the marvels he does. Raising up a dead child, striking the river, crossing the river on dry shod. And this is one of them, another legend, that he fed 100 people with 20 loaves that he had received free. 20 loaves means that 5 people had 1 loaf. Not enough, but they ate. And they were satisfied. And there was something left over. So he was a prophet. So John was saying, he wants us to see that Jesus was even a greater prophet. Because he took 5 loaves and fed 5,000. That means 1,000 to a loaf. 1,000 to a loaf. And they ate and they were satisfied. And there were leftovers. 12 basketfuls. All starting because of a generous man from a village, and a generous boy. A generous boy who has an intermediary called Andrew, who's willing to give this to Jesus. The others, Philip, are horrified. They would have to pay 2/3 of a year's salary to feed everybody just a mouthful. And here's this little boy say, hey, I'm willing to give you everything I've got. And Jesus takes it and multiplies it, and it's enough. As a Kamboni missionary, I am a member with another 1,500 priests and brothers. And we go overseas to serve in the foreign missions. There are also sisters, another community of sisters, about 1,000 in number. A much smaller group of lay missionaries. And all of this, of course, is to serve the mission of Jesus Christ, taking our faith, which we were given, and passing it on, and taking it overseas, as was done to us many years and decades and centuries ago. So we continue to do it another, that the kingdom of God can continue to multiply, can continue to extend everywhere. I have served about 41 years in a place called South Sudan. South Sudan is the newest nation among the community of nations. It has a population of about 15 million, has lots of problems of poverty, lots of problems of tribalism, has had lots of wars between for independence and now inter-tribal conflicts, inter-clanal problems, all kinds of problems. And there is hunger, there is famine, there is flooding, there's all kinds of problems. And yet, in my years there, I have been able to build many churches, chapels, healthcare units, schools. That's what I like. Church, school. Evangelize, teach. Teach, evangelize, baptize, celebrate the sacraments. A lot of work. The schools have grown to be over about 2,000 in number. Those pupils who join those schools, very often the number increases very quickly. And then you go out to chapels and you have to baptize children, lots of children. That we would have about, even young adults, over about 2,000 every year. And all of this, you have to register, you have to give certificates, you have to see the teachers, train the catechists, follow so many things, and all without an office, without a computer, without a internet, without a telephone. And how is it done? It's done in the theme of our founder, St. Daniel Comboni, saving Africa with Africa. And so very often, those people who are the right and left hand of the Father are boys. A young boy, like this one in the gospel, who comes up and offers to give what he can, who follows up making sure that I've got the books out for that day, making sure that I've corrected and passed the event, make sure that I make it to my classes, making sure that I follow, and those who I am punishing because we've done some misdeeds in the school, I've done their punishment, following all that up, following the teachers, making sure they're paid, making sure there's to visit the sick and all this. And this is done by young boy who helped me. And God has given me many of them. So this young boy, who we find the multiplication of loaves in many places. In the synoptics, I think there's about 6 of them. In John, there's only this. This is the only time we find this little boy giving those 2 loaves and those 5 loaves and those couple fish. That little boy, he's the source of everything. And for me too, he has been the source of my work. He's helped me so much. They have helped me so much, and they keep me on ball. And that after you do, without anything, without any office, only sit down for registration under a thorn tree and register hundreds of kids, organize them into classes and all this, and to teach them. It's a wonderful experience. Always helped by little helpers who are willing to do this. Girls have it more difficult. because girls have so many jobs they have to do at home. They have to be sweepers, carriers of the baby, taking care of, looking for firewood, bringing water home, cooking the food, starting to prepare, washing the dishes, taking care of the youngest baby, carrying it around so it doesn't cry so much, etc., etc. And everyone can boss the little girl around, but the boy is free to follow his instincts, his generous instincts to help and to organize. Of course, these words you heard in the day's Gospels are very Eucharistic words. Already they were celebrating the Eucharist when these words were written as a Gospel. So the people, they understood them just like you and I did. There is something Eucharistic about this. The eyes, the gestures, the movements, the words. And it's only in this Gospel that Jesus gives instructions. He gives rubrics on how to do it. And he is presented by John as a new Moses. The Moses going to Sinai. The Moses being calling down the manna come from heaven. The Moses, who is greater than Moses, because he himself is the bread of life. And that he comes to unite us. From generous men and women, boys and girls, the kingdom of God continues to work in little ways and to extend itself. That those schools oftentimes became the best schools in the state, often became number one in academic results, often became the best, all because of the blessings of God giving on us, because of his seeing generous people giving. So today we are reminded by St. Paul in the second reading that all of this unites us. All of this unites us. Our one baptism, our one faith is our one Lord, our one Spirit of God that works everywhere and in everyone. Not to divide, but to unite and to promote and to extend his kingdom to the farthest ends of the world. These are Jesus' instructions, and we are the ones carrying it out, all of us together, as we are just part of you. So today, I come asking your help. Today, as I came here yesterday, I put on the GPS the address I was given, and the GPS took me to the casino. Nasty GPS. But I found my way here, and I put in the real GPS, which is God, prayer, and service. That's the real GPS that works. God, prayer, and service. That's the GPS that leads us to this unity of baptism, this unity of prayer. Asking you as fellow missioners of the Lord Jesus, the great missioner, the great prophet, to continue his mission. You notice he went and hid. He wasn't going to let them make him king, because they didn't understand his kingship. But we do. We see his kingship from the cross. We see his kingship as king of truth as he stands before Pilate. He is king of truth, king of life, king of salvation. And he extends his kingdom through us. And so we pray for people who are representing us overseas. A young missionary who just left yesterday to go back to South Africa, starting a new parish. A young bishop who just wrote me. He was in the first diocese. He got shot 2 times in each leg, a bullet in each leg, which took him a long time to recover. And finally he did. He continued in that diocese. Now they gave him a new one to start, to open up from scratch, called Bentiu, Bishop Christian Kalasare. And all of these are asking us to pray for them, to help them as they begin their work and they continue on. And we also, we listen that God may be calling some of us. Father Mike is your pastor, is also a vocation director. I'm sure he insists on this a lot, that we listen to God's call and to respond to it. And finally, that we give what we can. We give what we can. And there are envelopes in the pews. If those people who are there at the end of it could pass them out to wherever might be in your pew. And you are able to give that in your collection today. It will be one collection, both for the efforts in the mission here, St. Joseph, as well as for the Cambodian missionaries overseas. Always the same. Cambodian missionaries have St. Joseph in very high regard, especially when we need mula, huh? When we need money, we always are praying to St. Joseph. We pray that he protects our brothers and makes them well and makes them healthy. We pray to St. Joseph for so many things. Today with you, patron of your parish, we ask him that he continue to help us to get the financial needs through you as he can. We are not like the ones who write to their father saying, no man, no man, no fun, your son. And we know that God would never respond to us as some fathers used to say, too bad, so sad, your dad. No, God would always be responding with his gifts, with giving us what he can through you and through the whole church. May God bless you and thank you for your generous offer as Christians in the oneness of faith.